We're starting a new series today, and titled it, Tongues and You. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're looking at tongues and you, and we trust God that as we look into God's word together, we explain it. Tongues and you, the emphasis is primarily you. That means you means your individual walk with God, and what it means to speak. I don't know when you got saved. I got saved in the mid-80s, and I got a bit more serious in the late 80s, and then I took a break off and on. And there was a time when, after I got filled, I didn't continue. I stopped because I didn't have much knowledge about what it means. And so a lot of times, there are spiritual realities that will become a phenomenon in our lives when knowledge is absent. And that's one of the reasons why we follow the example of the greatest teacher, the Lord Jesus. After such a mighty demonstration of God's power in his resurrection, he didn't spend 40 days working miracles, 40 days teaching. So we see that teaching God's word is extremely central to the lives of the saint. Teaching God's word, extremely central. As a matter of fact, it's about the most important meeting that you can have, local assembly, followed by prayer meetings. And so he taught for 40 days because it was important that those he was committing the church to should recognize the what has happened. So they are seeing him physically was not enough. They saw him physically because he was attested to in the scriptures. There will be people who will be witnesses of his bodily resurrection. But his bodily resurrection could not give them the revelation without that teaching, that understanding that I'm standing before you today. What does it mean? My being alive and walking among you, what are the implications of what has taken place? So he spent 40 days teaching them to let you know how central teaching is when it comes to understanding. Otherwise, you and I will go through the motions. Not only that, pastoring and relating with believers over the years, I've discovered that there is no continuity a lot of times in spiritual activities because of lack of understanding. So if God even grants you an experience, let me use the phrase, sovereign move of God. You are not likely to be able to continue in those things because you don't know how it came about in the first place. Like I said, sometimes we have some experiences and some of us think God is just smiling upon us. I have news for you. God is always smiling at you. Amen. He's never frowns at you. He always smiles at you. Even when he's correcting, he's still smiling. Jesus has put a smile on God's face forever concerning you and concerning me. Say amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's delve into God's word together. I'm going to start from verse 9. He says, but as it is written, I has not seen nor ear heard, and have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. Now, we said it over and over again, but it bears repetition. When you hear the word prepared, it simply speaks about the plan and purpose of God. What I was spoken ahead of time. He calls it things which are prepared for those who love him. And in Bible language, when Bible speaks about those who love God, it's talking about those who believe. That's what it means. So he said, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, or it's beyond human comprehension and beyond human conception, the promises that God made, which he intended to fulfill with respect to those who accept him, those who love him. It's beyond natural comprehension. So it's not something that your human brain can fathom. It's something that you will need to be taught and educated in and schooled into the reality of. It's different. So when you hear statements like 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, even that phrase, all things are passed away, and if any man be in Christ, is something you can study for a whole year. Because in Christ, that phrase alone is something you can study for a whole year. Behold, you can study behold. It looks like just one word. Because behold means there's a re-education for the person who is born again. You are not born again, but you now need to look at what does this mean? What are the implications? So when the Bible says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, it's talking about man's intellect. That what God has done, since God is a spirit, is beyond what man can naturally capture by his own understanding or natural ability. It has to be revealed. Hallelujah. Now, that revelation not only fosters understanding, is what aids you in practice. Many people have questions. Why tongues? Must I speak? People have even asked questions like, if I don't speak in tongues, will I make heaven? For the first answer is that you don't want to make heaven. We need first to explain to you that you have made it already. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ what dwells in you. Now, if not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, the first re-education is to let you know that conduct matters, but conduct doesn't qualify you for heaven. Very important. Now, that's a whole new schooling that is difficult for the natural man to comprehend, because natural man believes that I should be qualified based on what I do. But we're not telling that you will be qualified based on what somebody else has done. So it's a re-education, so to speak. You have to learn and unlearn and then relearn certain things. So you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. I'm in Christ Jesus. That qualifies me to be on to go to heaven. Now, so when you say go now, you already say, I'm in heaven already? Say, I'm in heaven already. That's important. I'm not saying you are in that celestial city, but you are in heaven, which means that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are where the sacrifice of Christ has what placed you. So you are not among those who is rapture. No. It's your right. It's your inheritance. It belongs to you already. And that's what we're working towards, letting us understand. Now, so if I belong to Christ and spiritually I am in heaven, in heaven means I'm in God's realm of operation. A new language has been given to me, which we call tongues. Now, there are instructions in God's word concerning why I should, what it does, what it exposes me to, the implication of it. Because when we use our natural understanding to reason our spiritual realities, we're going to fall short of what God has planned for us. You need the bedrock and the foundation of God's word to guide you, to let you see that this is more weighty. Believers ask the question, if I don't speak, that's the wrong question to ask. The question is, something belongs to you, why are you not using it? Now, I hope you're not like me, that 70% of what my phone can do, I don't know. Hopefully you're not like me. But there are people in this church, when you give them your phone, they will get to the kidney and the liver, and the esophagus and the lungs, and they know, they will go inside it. They will, the things they will bring out, you start looking, is this my phone that I've had for over a year? Because they are disposed that way. So the same way also, God gave you an inheritance, and God expects that an act of responsibility on your part is to plumb the depth of that inheritance to find out, what is this all about? What are the benefits? What are the things I can find? Why is this so important? Because if it's not important, Jesus not only died, was not only buried, did not only rise, he ascended before you could speak in tongues. So the magnitude of the activity, as far as the demonstration of God's power is concerned, that led to your speaking in tongues should make you pause and think, if it wasn't necessary, I won't be given this ability. We need to rethink things a little bit. If it wasn't necessary, look at the process. He died. He was buried. Then he rose. And then he ascended. And after he ascended, part of the sign of his ascension is this utterance called tongues that you and I have. So that means these tongues that I seemingly trivialize must be connected with the ascension of Jesus. And the Bible says that ascension is what the prophets looked forward to, and they couldn't receive in their lifetime. So every work and act that you see in life of prophets is, so to speak, inferior to that resurrection and that ascension. Hallelujah. So eyes have not seen nor ear heard, and that's entered out of man, the things which God prepared, notice, for those who love him. Doesn't mean others don't love him, but with respect to the plan, what he promised he would do ahead of time. Now look at the next verse. But God has revealed them to us by spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then gives us an explanation. It says, for what man knows the things of a man? Same the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Verse 12, that's our shouting ground. It says, now we have received. I don't know how to rush that verse, because you are sitting side by side, you are looking Abraham in the face. You tell Abraham, what the Bible calls the blessing of Abraham, I've received it now. What Isaiah said we're waiting for, he said, with joy you draw. Isaiah, I want you to know, we're already drawing from the wells of salvation now. There are sins and iniquity, I will not no more. Jeremiah, you said it in your book, chapter 31, verse 31. I want you to know, he remembers my sins and iniquities no more now. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world that brings condemnation, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things which are what? Freely given to us of God. Look at next verse. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom what teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. So, a man born of the Spirit of God can now speak, influenced by the Spirit, freely at all times and at any time. Why? Now we have received. That phrase implies a present tense continuous reality, something that won't cease. Now we have received, according to God's power, that ability. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit gifts of God. Or God has fulfilled His promise. He has brought it to pass. Go with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And He said unto them, this is Jesus after He rose from the dead, when He appeared, go ye into all the world and preach the good news, that's the gospel to what? Every creature. He that believeth and is one, baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You notice it doesn't repeat the word baptized. Does he that believeth not and is not baptized? No. He that believeth and is one, baptized shall be saved. So the believing is a baptism. Say amen. So the believing is baptism. He's not talking about water. He's talking about a reality. Those who believe will be immersed into a particular reality. That's what it's teaching. So he that believeth, that is baptized into the message you are preaching, he shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Look at this verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, when you hear the word signs in Bible language, Paulinian epistles, it's the Greek word simeon. It implies spiritual or supernatural indicators of an unseen presence. Spiritual or supernatural indicators of an unseen presence. In other words, how do I know a reality is present or a reality dwells where I am? He says, these signs or these indicators shall be seen. So when Jesus said, for instance, listen carefully, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the age. I will not see him. Others will not see him, except he permits it to happen in the realm of the spirit. But the sign that he is with me or that reality is true. There are certain things people will see that they will know. One of it is healing. You will lay your hands on the sick and it shall what? Recover. If you drink, not if you go and drink. If means it's a condition. Not that you saw poison, when go and drink. Jesus said, I know it's spoiled, but Jesus said, since you already know, that's presumption. Any, if they drink anything, you shall not order them. Now, this sign shall follow. In my name, they will speak what? New tongues. In my name. So, that means, in my name will mean powered by my ability. This language will come out of them. That means it's necessary and important. In my name. And the second thing he said, in fact, the first thing he said that they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. So I can cast out devils. See where I stand? The enemy cannot stand. Hallelujah. Now, I was saying some time ago, I said, if you're a believer, you never cast out devils. Follow us out on evangelism. We need to introduce your inheritance to you. Maybe devils are not present at your office. And if you say demons are not present, we're actually talking about men. I hope you know. So we're talking about men. When you say demons are not present, that means that demons are usually present around us in men. They come to us in form of men because they dwell inside men or they influence men to operate. Hallelujah. So let us continue. All right. So eyes have not seen nor heard. Now God has revealed them to us by Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He now says, now we have received. Now, if you have received, eyes have not seen nor heard, what you have received is what God prepared or what He promised or what He planned to do. He now says, the Spirit you have received is the substance of those things. The Spirit you have received is the substance of those things. So whatever God planned and prepared, the Spirit that you and I have received now is the substance of those things, or what you call the summary. Within the Spirit, therefore, are different truths and realities. But the Spirit that you have been given is like a summary of those realities. That's very important for you to understand. So if the Spirit is a summary of those realities, then it means, therefore, that anything that helps me to express Spirit is speaking about what God has planned and prepared. Say with me, God planned and prepared that I will speak supernaturally, enabled by the Spirit. And every time I speak supernaturally, I'm attesting to unseen realities. I am saying my sins are forgiven. I am saying I'm a new creation. I'm saying being justified by faith, I have peace with God. I am saying there is therefore now no condemnation concerning me. So I am saying many things. when I'm speaking in tongues. It says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but spirit of God, that by no things which are freely given, which things also we speak. So, in what God prepared, there are things that he freely gave to us, realities that belong to you. You are not struggling for it. He gave it to you freely. He now says, when you are saying those things, you are still teaching and explaining those things with the wisdom which the Spirit of God gives. Acts chapter 2. We're just introducing today, so just bear with me. Because the idea is that you and I should have continuity in spiritual realities. Continuity. That means that if at any point in time you've joined us to speak in tongues and there's been interruptions because you were thinking, what is all this? Must I say this? Does this make any sense? Well, we have scriptures to respond to you. We have scriptures that answer every single question you may have. Every single question. And you see, the mind of man is so strong that the minute truth is absent, you cannot enjoy or walk in the fullness of spiritual realities. Where does it issue open to? Acts 2. Before we go to Acts 2, let's read that 1 Corinthians 2 a little bit. I want to show you something. Are you in 1 Corinthians 2? Verse 13 again. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13. So which is also we speak, which man's wisdom teaches. But with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at next verse. But the natural man receives not. The word received there is to welcome. He doesn't embrace, he doesn't welcome. The natural man is a man who doesn't have the spirit. Now we have received, is making a comparison. We have received. We're those God prepared things for. We're those who love God. And in our loving God, we have believed him. And in our believing, we have what? Received the spirit. Now says, but the natural man. So he's making a contrast. There's another man who has not received the spirit. He has not loved God or believed God. And now says, he cannot receive or welcome the things of the spirit, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually understood. How do you spiritually understand spiritual realities? By teaching. A thorough explanation. You are taught. You are instructed. I said something when we're looking at divine guidance, leading of God. I said, the same way you have natural senses, you also have spiritual faculties. The reason why there's a sense of taste, smell, touch, and hearing in the natural is because you have a parallel sense of spiritual faculty like in the spirit also. So in the spirit, you can hear, you can see, you can touch, you can actually taste, you can smell in the spirit. You have senses like that, that were given to you when you came alive in Christ Jesus. There are faculties of that nature. Now, a child grows up to recognize, when I hear this fragrance, this is what it means. It means business is burning. When I hear this sound, this is what it means. It means I should get up. You know, if you don't school an individual, for instance, that when the phone goes off at such and such time, it means alarm. It means time to what? Get up. Children don't get up at the time you want them to get up. You wake them up. We've been there before. Even some adults are like that too. But let's leave that. So now you school them that you are going to go to school. They will cry in the morning. They know they are going to school the next day. They will still cry. They know. It's not that they don't know. I'm talking about toddlers. And me. So they will still cry. They know. But would you listen to the cry or will you take the child to school? You take that because the child has to be educated. Now, the same way also, you also went through. And that's why sometimes when you are a new parent, it's always interesting. It's a process again. Listen to those who are older, who have had more experience. No matter how protective you have your child, you can't be following your child to school and stay there till the end and then come back home. I don't want them to handle each other anywhere. Your child will be fine. We have all been there. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You feel like, I don't know those teachers. What kind of human being? Pray. Trust God. Because your parents pray. They also told their God. And you are here. And you are fine. You will be fine. Your child will be fine. Why are you being like that? You are a new parent. You think you are the only one who thinks that way. Everybody has gone through it. Those who have been. And your children are fine. Now, the child grows to learn and to recognize what sounds mean, what instructions mean, what this taste means, what the smell means also. So, you know, even from a baby Uchi, if you give some children something that is bitter, they will reject it. And there's some children, anything put their mouth, and it's just anything, they just swallow. And there's some children, they are so sensitive that at the very early age, anything that's bitter, they just reject. Now, they grew to recognize that this one is bitter, this is water, this is milk. This one is chloroquine. Don't take it. That's it. Now, it trained over time. Their senses were exposed. Do you know spiritually we go through the same process of learning and training? Now, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. God gave you a supernatural language. The same way when a child starts calling dada, dada, mama, mommy, before it becomes mommy, before it becomes eloquent, the ability to speak language is clear, it's there, but it's being developed. The same thing with tongues. It's a language. What exactly does the Bible say about tongues? For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. See what it says. I'm going to try and do this as basic as possible because we need to answer questions that are in our minds. We were praying in church one day like that. We were praying in tongues and we made some adjustments. Somebody came to church, looked at what we're doing, and went away. As they are strange in this church. And yet we're not strange. It's a New Testament practice. But because it's coming from a place where they don't pray in tongues. I hope you know that many assemblies don't pray in tongues. In fact, they pray when they get to a particular height. They just utter some words. Ah, God came today. They don't know that they can continue because they're not taught. I hope you know there are people like that. So they feel tongues something you say when you get to a particular height. Imagine that's how you speak in life. When I get to an height, I just tell you that I want to eat. You will go hungry. Now it is a teaching that has limited them to that experience, not God. What does God want? God wants them to move beyond that experience, but they are in the experience. That's the level at which they've been taught. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh, always pay attention to the way he speaks, not he that is made to speak." So this is an exercise of your will. He that speaketh, it will move your mouth. You will move your mouth. He will give you utterance. It's a partnership. We'll get there. It's a partner. You will get faster results concerning the business you want to venture into when the plans are clearly written and stated, because then it will command the right resources and the right financial supply will come your way. Write it down, make it plain. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, who said that to you? The Spirit of God. Whose mouth said it? My mouth. What is that partnership? The utterance is his, the mouth is mine. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, that utterance came because of what I just said. I said partnership. That is, there's a partnership between you and the Spirit of God when it comes to speaking. In other words, he gives utterance, but you will talk. That implies that if you don't talk, even though he gives utterance, you won't hear anything. So, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking unto men, but unto who? Unto God. For no man understand it. Now, notice what "in" is italicized. That means it was added to help the understanding. So, no man understand it, what he is saying. Albeit, not that nobody understands him. Mm-mm. No man understand it, what he is saying. But at that point in time, albeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries. Now, in the spirit is what you should focus on. In the spirit. Every time we say in the spirit, it means in the finished work of Christ. In that new creation realm where he lives, in the heavenlies where he dwells, he is speaking that which will require explanation. What he's speaking. Who is he speaking to? God. He's speaking to God. Does God understand? Of course, God understands. There's no mystery with God. God understands. But if he speaks, he's speaking unto God, or let me say, it's a direct line. Now, sometimes I wonder, do our fathers back then, our spiritual fathers back then, how they did it, I still don't understand. Because except you are trained that way in Anglican or Baptist church, how can you pray for 2 hours in understanding? Except you see God, Spirit of God helps you. What will you be saying? Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now more, do it now more. You just adding, what will you say for 2 hours? But you know they used to pray. And they pray for an hour. They pray for 2 hours. And some of them don't repeat though. I hope I'm not making fun of it. Some of them don't repeat though. They will say, so there had to be an element of the spirit. Now, you have the Holy Ghost. You can speak with tongues. Why will 2 hours be too difficult for you? Because you don't have any excuse for short men. If God puts you side by side with somebody, I say, you see your life. You see, he didn't know I was speaking in tongues. He prayed for 2 hours daily. Now, you that you know, how are you praying? Because being able to speak with tongues means that you are inspired with respect to what to pray for by the Spirit. Even as you are praying what you know, he helps you to pray about what you don't know. That means there are many things you don't know. And that's why in the early church, when the Bible says they came to pray, very seldom are we told their prayer points. You know why? To pray, that was the point. To actually pray, that was the point. They will just come together. If there's something they need to pray about that everybody knows, they will pray. If there's nothing to pray about because we're the house of prayer, they will just start praying. If they start praying, the spirit that's within them will lead them and say, focus in this area. But they just come to just pray. Hallelujah. That's important. So to be able to speak this way to God directly without anything in between is such an important aspect of our redemption. Because in the spirit, in the life of what Christ has accomplished, he is speaking or is making sense. He's making sense. And when I discovered how important this tool is in our lives, I remember some years ago, somebody I was struggling with a relationship. I just told her, take a fast, pray for 3 days. Don't say anything in your understanding with respect to what you want. Just pray for about 3 days. And let's see what God will do. Because he that speaks in tongues, he's not speaking to me, he's speaking to God. For no man understands. And sometimes God will include you in one of the people who doesn't understand. That's why I say that if you want to do something bad and you pray in tongues, it won't work. Somebody says why? Because you are praying the will of God. And the will of God is not evil. God will put roadblocks in your path. Don't go and see that girl. Don't leave school. Don't go to another campus. Don't write a stinker to your boss. Don't make that phone call to your friend. If you pray in the spirit or you speak in tongues, he will ensure that only his own will comes to pass if you yield to it. So he that speaks, so not that he that's made to speak, he's not addressing men, he's addressing God directly. Say, I have direct audience with God. When I speak, my Father listens, and I'm even speaking by the ability that he has given to me. That's what is unique about it. So how things will play out, how events will work for my good, I'm seeing out those things as I yield to that supernatural call tongues. That's so important. So things that eyes have not seen or heard, things that God has prepared, he planned ahead of time, that you will be in such a situation that you cannot be successfully cornered except you allow it. He gave us a supernatural language. Go back to Mark chapter 16 before we go to Acts 2. So, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devil. They shall speak with what? New tongues. What is his name? His reputation. What he has accomplished. What is at the back of that reputation? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. What was the gospel they went to preach? Because he told them, go into everyone and preach the gospel to every creature. But they knew what the gospel was before he said, go and preach. Because he didn't elaborate what the gospel was here. He just said, go and preach the gospel. When he did say so, after he told them for 40 days what the gospel was, look at Paul's declaration of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. You have received it. That means you have been baptized in it and you are standing in it right now. Look at verse 3. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died. So Paul was saying, I was also taught. I also learned the details. So I deliver unto you first that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And I was buried and he rose again, what? The third day according to the scriptures. Notice that according, that was the gospel. That Christ died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. So the gospel has to do with his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. That's very important. That was the gospel. That's what Jesus said, that if any man believes and is baptized, he shall experience the full benefits of that resurrection. That's what you, and these signs shall follow those who have been baptized or those who have been immersed. In my name, they will cast out devils. That is, with light of what they have been baptized into, they will speak a different language that speaks about a different civilization. Now go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, and I read from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Go with me to verse 13 or verse 12. So people came around and looked at their response, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now remember what we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. What was the reaction of those who were not saved? Those who didn't have that, the Spirit, those who didn't have the utterance. What does this mean? And others were mocking and said, these people are full of what? New wine. But notice scripture says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, that's one of the reasons why people who are not schooled and who are not born of the Spirit, they make fun of tongues. People said, what does this mean? Others were even mocking. And that's why, listen carefully. If you mock spiritual things and you're a believer, and you're sound, you're a believer in that sense, spiritual reality will be far from being experienced. I don't watch skits that make fun of spiritual realities. I don't watch skits that mock pastors. Because you won't know that your senses have been dulled to certain realities. You won't even know. It's an unconscious thing. So you don't make mockery of speaking in tongues. It's a sacred thing. You don't use that as a skit. I don't even know how to give an example of if you speak like this. Because it's a sacred thing. So what meaning this? And others were even mocking. Why? The natural man does not receive. He doesn't welcome. Why? They are foolishness unto him. He can't know them because they were spiritually understood. Look at the next verse. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is what? Judged of no man. In other words, he understands. He's able to discern. He's able to walk in the reality. So, on the day of Pentecost, verse 4 says, and they were all filled and they began to speak. Why did they begin? Because Jesus taught them. And he let them know what it means. That this is you and God partnering together to fulfill God's plans and purpose upon the earth. That's what it means. So, the minute you start, you can begin means the Spirit is ready. The Spirit is waiting on you. The minute you begin to speak, the Spirit will supply what? The utterance. It's a supernatural ability. So what is freely given to you to minister? It's given to you to bless. It's given to you to speak out God's plans and purposes. What do? You begin. They began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. And in Acts chapter 2, the outcome of that day was that 3,000 souls got saved because Peter preached the gospel. But here's what I want to say. What does this mean? Look at Peter's response in Acts chapter 2. And this is where we're going as we start today. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted a voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, sins, but the third hour of the day. For this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great day, when the Lord shall come. He's quoting scriptures. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So notice where Peter is giving us what meaning this is answering the question. What you are seeing manifestation, the tongues is rooted in a particular reality. That reality is the scripture that says, whosoever shall call. So there's a day men will call upon the Lord. What will happen? They shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by means of you, as you yourselves know. In being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken him by wickedness, you have crucified and slain. Whom God has what? Raised up. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible to be holding by it. So, Peter preached about the resurrection of Jesus. Why was he preaching? The tongues are symptomatic of something deeper. The tongues are a pointer to the fact that the great promise God promised the nation of Israel, he has fulfilled, he has brought it to pass. So the tongues you see us speaking, which eventually became a prophecy, are a sign to something greater. What's the greater? It's not the tongues that is great. It is what it's pointing to that is great. Let me say it again. This sign shall follow means a sign is an indicator of something that you cannot see. For instance, when you smell that food is burning, the smell is not the most important part. The smell is the indicator that what? Food is burning. And some people are so good. No matter what is burning, they know what the smell is. From 3 houses away, who is cooking beans that's burning? Some people are so shy, they say, somebody's jollof rice. It's, you know, how do you know it's jollof rice? No, that's not jollof, it's fried rice that's burning. Who is cooking egusi soup? Your nose has been exercised to design all these kind of meals. So now, the real issue is that food is burning. The smell is just an indicator. The same way also, the tongues is a pointer to something greater, that this language I'm speaking, there are things I'm affirming in the spirit. I'm calling some realities forth as I'm speaking this way. So when Peter began to explain, what does this mean? He quickly connected to God has raised him from the dead. What does that imply that God raised him? Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Notice, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised what? Again for our justification. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 is a continuous thought. Therefore, say therefore. So notice, therefore, being justified by faith. What is faith? Faith in what he has accomplished. Now, let me stop and say something further. Why is this important? Notice, therefore, being justified by faith. Peter says, these tongues you heard us speaking, that led to us magnifying God and speaking about the greatest God has done, is because God has raised Jesus. That resurrection, listen, is a promise of all ages. In that resurrection, you can say, there is no time I will pray that the Father will not answer my prayers. So the resurrection is, he has indicators or signals that he sent. Tongues is one of them. That we can speak this way is because God has raised Jesus. And because he has raised Jesus, that implies many things from the believer. 1 Corinthians 2 says, things that are freely given. Things that are freely given. Now says, therefore, being justified in what he has done, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. Are there times when you wake up, you feel condemned, and you have not done, at least you didn't do anything in your dream? Amen. There was time when we pray prayer. Lord, the sins I've committed, you know what I'm talking about? All the sins I've committed, the ones I don't remember I've committed. You already, see me say you don't remember. Why we do you think God remembers? The one that you have not. So, the sin of commission, the law of omission, you don't even know the difference. The sin of omission, the sin of commission. Somebody told you that. Not that you know how Jesus, somebody told you, know how you find in the Bible. Facebook when they were shouting, the prayer of the wicked is an abomination. I said, no. It says in the Bible. I said, where? He doesn't know. But it's boldly saying it on Facebook. I said, no. I said, you know what? He said, no. I said, it's in the book of Proverbs. I said, it doesn't say prayer. I said, because you were once wicked, now you are saved. If your prayer is abomination, God will not have heard your prayer. Because the prayer you've got, say it is sacrifice of the wicked. That's an abomination, not the prayer. You were once wicked, God saved you in Christ Jesus. So that's like, it looks like something, it's not small. It's a spiritual law. You were once a wicked person, but you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he saved you. Hallelujah. It's a sacrifice of the wicked, not the prayer. And the only time prayer is implied when it comes to what the wicked does is when they pray, wicked there implies somebody who is praying contrary to God's will. That this thing that you are doing, God will not answer. I won't say more than that one. So where are we now? So therefore, being justified by faith in what he has done, we have peace. That means it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is the peace I have with him. That means I cannot trust my feelings, but I can trust the testimony of his word. And if I don't know his word, I won't be able to have the experiences that are in line with my inheritance. That's the implication. So a lot of times believers act on the way they feel. I usually say this way, you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. The feeling will come after. You know, it's interesting the way we don't apply that to other things. I don't feel like going to work, and there's no paycheck. They will not feel like paying you. How come when you don't feel like going to work, you still go? Why are you going even though you don't feel like? When it comes to prayer, I just need to feel like praying. Maybe the Holy Ghost can never lead you not to pray. It can never. What does that mean? Your feelings can be trusted, but the word of God can be trusted. What do? You use God's word to bring your feelings around. Therefore, being justified by faith. Even when I feel condemned, I have peace with God. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. So, through my Lord means that it's not because my conduct is all on point. It's because his conduct is 100%. And because it's 100%, I can pray anytime. Even when I don't feel, how can you not pray because you feel like you are not being heard? Who told you feeling like being heard has nothing to do with God answering your prayer? Many of us will receive answers to prayers that we have prayed before, that we have forgotten. But God doesn't forget. He is faithful. Hallelujah. So, he gave you and I a language. So, Peter said, this experience, he began to explain light of, it's about salvation. In other words, these tongues that men are speaking is not subsequent. It's actually salvation, fine expression, through the lips of men, via words. So what you call tongues today, it's salvation, saving grace, fine expression, through the lips of men that we call tongues. In my name, in what I've done, what did he do? He forgave us our sins. He delivers us from the authority of darkness and what? Funded us to the kingdom of his dear son. Even we have redemption, even what? The forgiveness of sins. So whatever I'm saying in tongues, I'm saying something that agrees and is in line with those things which he has done. And let me say, it's the fastest way for God to bring you in alignment with what he wants to do. That's why, even if you feel confused, pray in tongues some. And there's a difference between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. When you are praying, you are addressing God. When you are speaking, you are seeing how certain things that God will either will have you do or what he will have you align with. And we're going to get to that point also. Because the Bible speaks about praying in spirit and speaking in spirit. The difference is that you cannot pray without speaking. But you can speak and not be praying. Do you understand what you're saying? You cannot pray without speaking, but you can speak and you're not what? And not praying. That's the major difference. So, My praying in tongues will involve speaking. But my speaking in tongues doesn't have to involve what? Praying. Because I'm speaking in tongues and I'd be addressing you. I can speak in tongues and I can be hearing what God is trying to say to me. And for me personally, it has been an indispensable tool in life and in what? Ministry. I can't even begin to quantify. If tongues was not in existence, where will I be today? Because everything I've ever done as a milestone came. But I spoke out those things. Sapalo do Christifra Alatil in a shite prosta katil in a kitanaya. Take the book, make a gift to somebody higher up, and I'll open it up for you. I'll open it up for you. Glory to God. Our cameraman, things have not a bit, they are behind plan with respect to some plans and from projections you made before. And there has not been much progress the way you envisioned it to be. But come, walk after me. The progress is coming now. The progress is coming now. You will catch up. Yeah, this first half of the year, the things you projected, they will come to pass. Your hands will not be empty, and things will work for you supernaturally. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Mrs. Rufus, come. From job to jobs, but also I hear strength for the new season. Using tongues is not good. Because not only do you use to speak to God, you also use it to hear from Him. He also say things back to you. That's one of we bled to la fratele gita ni ana nishte. Enu sabrada katile gita nanya. Asuprato kuda. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come. You've been craving for it. You wanted to see it. And the things you're stepping into, you actually need it in that particular arena. To do crusades, miracles are necessary. Yeah, miracles are necessary. The working of miracles. Where you speak and the cripple will stand up. They will stand up. Glory to God. Where were we? What was the last thing I said? Romans 5. Thank you. Romans 5. So, therefore being semola katile ni ashitene buru takadile kitanaya edustrabola frada katulunguti ninglana kuku susu fretile tile shetilana sutu. Before the promotion comes, I will show you that the place where you ought to occupy, I will first show you. And when I show you, we begin to speak it forth into existence because there will be contention. So that I've shown you doesn't mean you should not speak it out. Still practice the principle of faith. I showed you so that you can know what to say and what to look forward to and what to prepare yourself for. So when I show you, begin to speak it forth. That chair, that seat, that place I'm occupying. And when you do, it will be easy for the Spirit of God to put you over and to get you there. For through your lips, all oppositions shall be taken out of your way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Peter said, God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death. And when God raised him up, he's saying, the explanation of this language that we're speaking is rooted in something deeper. God has raised him up. And when God raised him up, what are the implications? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Look at verse 2. By whom also we have what? Access by faith into what? This grace, wherein we stand. Say, I'm in grace. I'm standing in grace. Where I am, things work for me. Where I am, angels are assigned to me. Where I am, the favor of God abounds. Where I am, God makes room for me. There is a grace when we stand, and therefore we rejoice in expectation of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So there is a grace when we stand. What is that grace? Being justified by faith. We have peace with God through what Jesus did, and we rejoice expecting or in patient expectation that the glory of God shall be made manifest in all our affairs. That's what it means. So, you are not in disfavor, you are in favor. Why? You were justified by faith in what he has done. We rejoice in hope with respect to all that he has said, we will express it in full. So, we rejoice in a conscious expectation of the outcome of what our lives will be in the light of what his glory will fulfill. That's what he's saying. We have access by faith into this grace. I will rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the tongues, the language itself, as you begin, it's a journey. You're in kindergarten, you start. People have said things like, Pastor, I only have one or two syllables. Continue. What do? Hang around people who have increased their vocabulary in that area. Hang around. Hey, but Pastor, it doesn't make sense to me. It's not really meant to be at first. At first, it's not meant to be. Why? You can extend it. It can increase until your understanding also becomes what? Enriched. And there's a process where that takes place. In other words, as you persist and continue, you are using the language. And because you're also spiritual, and the Spirit of God that gives you utterance also within you, the same Spirit, after a while, in certain situations, will give you understanding or interpretation concerning what you are saying. Is it all situations? No. When needed and when necessary. In other words, the same thing you began and said, I don't understand this. After a while, when your life is being enriched, and let me say this in passing, many, many times, the things we have spoken out in tongues as we prayed every morning, they play out in our daily lives, in wisdom and decision making. They do. They play out. In other words, when interpretation is coming, you are not even aware that was interpretation. Thoughts arose in your heart. Thoughts you didn't think before until you prayed that way. And you think they just came up. No. Because you are in partnership with God and you gave God your tongue. Because if you give somebody your tongue, permit me to use that phrase, you have given that person your life. Because your tongue directs your life. Where you will be, where you will arrive at, what you are going to do, the minute anything has control over your tongue, that thing has control over your life. So what God did in Christ was to seize control of your tongue on time by giving you a language that will align with his will. So that whatever you do consciously or unconsciously, it is the will of God that you find your life pattern after. Hallelujah. Let me say it the other way. That means if you don't give yourself to speaking in tongues consistently, you are robbing yourself of the benefits of your inheritance. You are not going to see it in full expression. In this day and age, it is better for you to do it and practice and find out what benefits than to have doubts in your mind and not practice something that already belongs to you, that Jesus had to ascend before you could walk in the fullness of it. That's the gravity of what it means to speak in tongues. These signs shall follow. Jesus said so. The proof, I'm with you always. This is part of the sign. Look at Matthew 28, in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's what authority, that's exousia. All authority is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. That is both in the seen and the unseen world. That's what it means, heaven and earth. Now, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, tongues is one of the things he commanded them. He taught them. It was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. Part of what he commanded in that 40 days was he told them about that utterance. He told them that they will need to yield. He told them that as they yielded, they will yield to the things of God, and the gospel will be easier to preach when they allow that utterance to flow through them. So, whatever I have commanded, and lo, notice, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now listen, the fact that you can speak in tongues at all times means you have the Spirit at all times. The fact that you have the Spirit at all times is proof that Christ is abiding you at all times. Let me say it again. The fact that you can speak in tongues at all times means you have the Spirit at all times. The fact that you have the Spirit at all times means what? Christ is where? In you at all times. So, even when you feel God is far away, if you open your mouth and you can speak, he's with you. He's in you. Because that ability is a pointer to an unseen presence. It's a sign. A sign is an indicator of a supernatural presence. So, when you learn to exercise yourself that way, you will grow beyond those feelings that betray your emotions. You will grow beyond that feeling of, I woke up today, I don't feel like God is present, I don't feel excited, I don't feel like my prayer is passing beyond the room. It doesn't need to pass. It's a knowing. What is the knowing? Jesus said this will work. I believe him. Why? You are being schooled in spiritual what? Realities. Hallelujah. You are being schooled in spiritual realities. That's what you are. So, and when you are being schooled, it's not everything you understand at once. I'm so grateful that when I got filled, they didn't give me time to doubt. I just opened my mouth and began. I started with one or two syllables. I continued. Even if it's shumika, you're saying, just the fact that the Spirit of God is enabling. Now, if an unbeliever tries it, it will be rubbish. So it is the presence of the Spirit that makes sense of what you are saying. Now, do men understand fully? No. Remember, the first audience is not men. It's who? It's God. So the minute you start, what is supernatural about it is the fact that there is a Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, giving you the ability to put those words together. Funny enough, the same way he gives you the ability, he enables you to say more than you have said before, if you practice it.
I remember that time we would play Canadian tapes and play his ministration tapes. And when I listen to his ministration tapes, where he does tongues and interpretation, that's how I got fluent in tongues and interpretation. If you want some, go after it. So I will listen to his tapes over and over again. And his own tongues. Tongues, though. I've listened to air tongues where you're licking your lips. This is tongues. Yeah, this is not burning tongues. This is not burning tongues. This is sweet tongues. There are some people, when they speak tongues around you, it's going to say, come and stay around me here. I want to hear more. And then sometimes they are dry. But it's not. It's not in sweetness or dryness. It's the power of God at work. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that you can join yourself with somebody who is developed in those realities. And the more you hang around, your own vocabulary will increase. So if after 5 years, it's still too slippery, look for somebody who has been practicing for quite a while. And what happens as you fellowship with that person, the same spirit in them is in you. What happens is that you are able to move beyond what you call a limitation. What was like a barrier, what was like a limitation in your utterance, you're able to move beyond that into something greater. But I speak with tongues. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, I speak with tongues. In the name of Jesus, I give myself to utterance. Mysteries are spoken out. Lives are changed. My life is enhanced. What God wants to do in my life, He finds expression. The days ahead, they are glorious days. They are days full of praise. The glory of God rests upon me and upon all that I do. No obstacle is able to stand before me. I go forward. I increase in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and the ability of God is backing me up. Many things you want to do that are in immediate future, God will guide you, God will lead you, God will instruct you as you yield your tongue to speaking that supernatural language. Because God, having control of your lips and upon your tongue, He will use that utterance to guide you towards the right destination. I've seen God use the utterance that people yield themselves to remove wrong desires and place the right ones. I've seen God use that utterance to change people's mind about the step they're about to take that was the wrong one because they yielded their tongue. They just slept and they woke up and there was a different desire. They just slept and they woke up and the agreement they wanted to give something wrong, that agreement was no longer there. There are too many benefits with respect to. The most important part you need to understand, if I give my tongue to the Spirit of God and certain things are spoken and words that are spirit and life, they come out of my lips. Even when I don't understand fully what I'm saying, I know God who understands is teleguiding my life so that I can line up with His will, with His plan, and with His purposes. I know how many times praying the Spirit, praying what Christ has done by using tongues. I've been to meetings before I get to meetings. And I've seen things, people to minister to, because I yielded. Because Spirit of God knows no time by boundaries. And I knew, and I saw people that I've never met before ahead of time via speaking, by visions. And I knew when you get them minister to this person, when you get them minister to this person, when you get, call this person out, just because I yielded my tongue. In natural course of life also, by that same means also, calamity has been avoided. I've been warned. I've stayed away from certain relationships and associations because my natural tongue to God's Spirit and utterance was given and I spoke some things out. That has been a tremendous blessing to me today. I've always said it 2 years before we started Noble House. While serving as national pastor in the local assembly, I spoke out most of what we'll be doing in the Noble House by tongues and interpretation, and I wrote them down 2 years before we started. I was a national pastor. I didn't know it was going to come to pass, but it did come to pass. What can you do when God says something to you about what He's going to do? All you can do is speak in tongues, because it's still a mystery to your mind. But after a while, you complain. Hallelujah. What do you do? The same thing applies to what school will your children go to in the immediate future? You can speak it now. You can. Most of the time, what we do is that when it's time to go to school, and I say, Father, where's your face? None of our kids went to the same school. It was as though God prepared schools for them to go to based on their temperament. This school that Shara went to is a soldier school. It's Air Force school. Their old school. Yes, the old school. It's military discipline. As you're looking at her, she's tough. It's also there. She's very tough. The other two can't go to that school. We're even thinking, let us guide them. The way God led us, no. This one is going. Last one, the one that went to the two-share school, in quotes. Somebody says why. The plan that God has for A is not what He has for B. So you have to learn that your children are even different. And you don't treat them the same way. Now, does God have a plan for each of them? Yes. There are quivers in your arrow. Or sorry, the arrows in your quiver, rather. So the direction He wants to fire each one, do you know? Have you prayed it out? That's why you don't compare children. do you know the plan he has for this arrow that bears his name? Do you know? Because you can't say, they must all go to, if they followed my own, I say, oh, my son would have gone to government college, but the best school in the world. Because, why? Because it's the best school in the world. Now, he didn't go there because that wasn't part of God's plan. That's what I wanted, but that's not what God wanted. Now, what God wants to do with life is different. Now, what God does is that supernatural partnership. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. So as I'm speaking, because it's with me always, his wisdom is infiltrating my decisions. Because he's with me always. Now, I don't feel like it's with me, but my tongue is reminding me with the utterance he gives to me that he's with me always. So he's influencing the choices I make with respect to those children. That's what's going on. It's a divine partnership. You're asking me what I want you to do. I've given you utterance. Pray it out. Because it's not just about me and you. It's about the situation around it that will make that thing come to pass. We have a housekeeper. I prefer to call her a housekeeper. Who has been with us for 19 years. Same person. We've not changed her. How did he come? We prayed new. We prayed it out. So she saw all the children green her hands. We prayed out. She's an elderly woman. She's in her late 50s now. So that's him for 19 years. We prayed that person in. That person came at a crucial time that we needed the person. We needed the help. Seriously. At that point in time. And we prayed, and God brought the person supernaturally. And the same person has been around and is still around now, even though all the children are grown. Now, that is how important your life, my life is, and the life of our children are. We're such to what has God planned? So don't think that the school your children will go to, God is not interested. He is. Because he gave them to you. So your partnership with God concerning that child is that you labor in the spirit by praying the supernatural language he has given to you. Good schools are good. A believer doesn't make a decision just based on the fact that you can afford it. There are children out to school out of the country. Brothers and sisters, there are those that should not. According to God's plan, may you not move your child out of destiny. Some people think once they have money. No, money is not enough. Money can mislead. They are children. That's why it may cause sibling rivalry. Some should go, some should stay. According to God's plan. Because God's plan is different. And none is inferior or superior to the other. Just know, what is God's plan for this child? Some children should go to boarding school. Some should never go there. So it's not, you can't one size fits all. No, it doesn't work like that. For each child, hear God. What does God want? How do you hear God? I'm not saying just sit down. God. Does anybody believe me? Kill every? No. You see, because when you hear God, that's people have given that mysterious impression that that's how you just say, oh, God. That, and then Brakola will ask you, so what did you hear? In fact, I'm still waiting. Like, God has nothing about bidding you. What God is saying? No, the way he will speak is that when you begin to pray, it begins to influence your thoughts and decisions. Then it won't begin to bring people to your place. Mr. Demon can just come to her and say, ah. And she just thinks he's just speaking to you casually. That's why don't forsake the assembly of the saints. They will bring a suggestion to you. The suggestion is the answer to your prayer. And the person that's speaking doesn't even know. But God moved that person because you were in the region. So you went to go and talk to Pastor Tony casually and you got a job. And Pastor Tony doesn't know you are looking for a job. He just said something to you. He just heard. And then next thing, he doesn't even know you are praying for it. But because you are where believers are. But that's what you are praying for. It will be leading and guiding. Someone to make like a suggestion. It will just be like a suggestion. People have married on suggestion. I'm happily married though. This way, I'm just saying the truth. Yes, happily married on suggestion. Yeah, you think it's... I'm not joking. I pray for a year and a half before I met my wife. And my friend, who is my namesake, just brought her to my room. She was going to somebody else's room, another man's room. Sorry, that didn't come out well. Let me explain. She had a friend. She was not going to a man's room. So a fellow student, I mean, University of Ibadan, she was going to visit. There were fellowship members. He invited her. And then at the entrance, this my friend just saw her. I still don't know the reason to today. He just grabbed her, was talking to her, and dragged her to my room. That's how we met. So, and the person that brought her is my prayer friend. What is our commonality? We used to pray together. He did it casually. He just said, this is my friend. We call him Bishop. Bishop meet JMK. JMK meet Bishop. And that was just it. So, I just said. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. You have met in casual situations like that. Casual means that, you know, I've got to shoot vision. Ah, I saw that sister in wedding gown. It's not true. It's just by a friend of a friend. And then they are happily married. Because God was involved in the details. It's on the outside, it looks casual. But it wasn't casual. God was planning something. That's what God was doing. So things like that happen for somebody who prays much in the spirit. Because you are creating scenarios, opportunities for God to bring all he wants to bring towards you. Because when you are a man who is given to those kind of things, every single believer, there is a kind of person you can marry and you should marry. And there's a kind you shouldn't marry also. There's a school your child should go to. There's a business you ought to be involved in. And those associations, those details, they are inside of God. And he says, I will not leave you. I'm with you always. So how come it's with us always and we don't always get it right? Or we most of that don't get it? Because we don't yield ourselves to a language that shows that union is strong. Hallelujah. So the more we yield to the language that shows that union is strong, it will amaze you the things that will happen. Even when they say a door is closed, you keep speaking. Another door will open somewhere. Because I'm with you always means whatever tries to stop you, as long as you can't stop him, it will stop you also. And it's with you always. Say tongues means God is with me always, even unto the end of the age. Lift up your hands and give him thanks this morning. Give him thanks this morning. We'll give ourselves to speaking. We'll yield to that supernatural utterance. God's grace will make mine manifest. We'll not be found lagging behind. Things will work together for our good because the power of God will rest upon us. It will create scenarios in our lives. There will be divine alignment. All things will work together for our good because the hand of God will be mighty upon us. Father, we give you praise this morning in Jesus' precious name.